This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
The show is back. Nick Wilson, Jonathan Peterlin. We're working with a new mic. Hi, everybody. Happy draft day. We got plenty for you guys today. That opened courtesy of our friends at FanDuel Sports Network Ohio. We got to talk about the Cavaliers' big win last night. 2-0 in the Miami series. 14 wins to go. Garos didn't win, but we'll talk some Garos today as well because we're still vibing on that. And, of course, it is draft day, and that means it is time to find out who in the you-know-what the Cleveland Browns will draft or what they'll do with the number 2 pick. Will they trade up with the number 33 pick? So much to get to. We are live from Razzle's. We're actually outside. If you guys want to come by and see us, this is a ridiculously beautiful day. And our friends here at Razzle's have given us a ridiculously beautiful setup. We're talking about we're on the bottom level of the patio outside. The sun is – and here's the thing. This needed to be today because I had such a good day before work that if I had to go into the studio, you know, for like my dream job, the whole time I would have wanted to be outside chilling in this incredible weather, and that's where we are. We got Mac Robinson Engineering out here. We got Jake Murren on the board. Yes. We have also Jake Murren behind the glassy knoll as he is the Assassin's Apprentice. Matt Corrali on the 2020s as well. And I'm sure a whole host of other folks working back at the station there. But next to me, we've been talking about this damn thing for 4 months.
Yeah.
What are the Browns going to do? JP, the moment has arrived.
With such little anticipation, all things considered, right? Because there could be so many things that could happen. But I feel like the whole entire fan base is just like, well, Travis Hunter. What's the popular line today? Travis Hunter, no matter what?
Oh, can we
I've heard it once. I've heard it 12,000 times today.
So Daryl has done this bit 17 times this week. Everyone else, listen, I get it. The movie Draft Day was about the Cleveland Browns. We all know it wasn't a very good movie. And the Vontae Mack, no matter what, was cool in the movie. But when everybody does it, it does become a little hackneyed.
It's just been overdone today to a point that it's really gotten to be annoying. But I still think there's a few things that could happen in this draft, and especially including tonight. So I'm not Travis Hunter or no matter what, even though I think it's going to be the pick. But there's a lot that could happen. It feels like everyone else is resigned to this being Travis Hunter day, though.
So I'm so glad that you said that, because the Browns are in a situation we don't find very often, and that is in a no-lose situation. If the three options today are take Travis Hunter, a guy who has incredible upside on both on either side of the ball, take Abdul Carter, or trade down. I mean, you're either going to get a really good player that gives Andrew Berry his best chance to draft a core player since his first year when he had the number 10 pick, and it sure as heck wasn't with this kind of upside at this pick, or you trade down today, potentially for a future first-rounder, and put yourself in a better position to get a quarterback next year. None of these scenarios are bad things. Like, I get that the player might not work out. That's not always on the Browns, all right? And sometimes it is. But, that, you know, like, things will happen. We'll see who can do it. But in terms of, you have the chance at the two best prospects in this draft, and there is value there that you might be able to trade down. I really think, like, I understand there's a segment of folks that will be upset if it isn't Travis Hunter.
Yeah, they will be.
But, guys, I think they're in the catbird seat right now, and that's exactly – I'd prefer them to be here, even if we all have our own cynical takes on Andrew Berry drafting in the direction of this franchise.
Well, so if you feel that way, then you also can't really give Andrew Berry a bunch of credit if it's like everything he does is just going to be good. And it's not anything that he himself actually did.
I mean...
Well, won't we have to judge on the other parts of this draft? Or does he get the green check mark from everyone for shying away from taking Shador Sanders and that just being the win for Andrew Berry? Is that what that is?
Or does he get credit for not doing something stupid? Like, and granted, and I'll give you, okay, listen.
Stupid's still on the table, by the way.
I really want to watch this guy play football in the NFL.
Taken stupid off the table
so
yet.
I don't think per se that this would be stupid, but if you were a franchise that had a lot of needs and you took a running back at two, that'd be approaching stupid. So, like, choosing between Travis Hunter and Abdul Carter, or, again, trading down, I think he gets credit for doing one of the three smartest things you could do.
I mean, the draft is very obvious, and it's very sitting in front of him in a very obvious way, it feels like. It's presented to him in a very obvious way. Now, the trade-down scenario, I think that's something you've been talking about for 3 or 4 months. I don't know that the fan base would look at that as a massive win. And I've heard rumblings today about them potentially trading down and trying to get out and taking someone like Mason Graham. If they go that route, I think, I don't know, 80-85% of the fan base would be upset with that reality, because today is about Travis Hunter for a lot of the fans.
And I totally understand that. And I'm not I really like feel listen, the Browns have earned whatever emotion you're going to feel about what happens today, all right? If you're still mad about 3-14 or any of the other stuff that came before, that's fine. I look at today as a day of hope. Like, the NFL draft, if I know that it's a big business, and I know that these guys risk their life and limb, but today is for a lot of guys, the birth of a lifelong dream. For some of them, it is going to end up being the biggest accomplishment of their football career, because they might not end up being great in the NFL or good in the NFL.
Yeah.
So, like, there's an opportunity. Like, it's okay today to just be an unabashed fan and a little bit of a homer and just be excited at the idea of what can be. And so I can't tell you, like, if your heart is set on Travis Hunter or Abdul Carter and a trade down upsets you, I will not dissuade you. I'm just here to tell you that would be a sign that the Browns are running this like a big boy organization, and they would deserve some level of credit for that.
I got my roster building hat on. I'm not just going to sit back and say everything is awesome. I think the
is that
number,
like Bob the Builder hat?
It's close to it. It's more like a Bob Vila hat. And I feel like...
Did Bob Vila wear a hat? I thought he had
like
that.
Everyone's that, handyman. He had to have wore a hat at some point.
I don't ever recall, like, you didn't see, like, Bob Vila with a hat. That wasn't how they sold the show, because he had that just glorious mane.
All right, quick sidebar.
Of salt and pepper.
Quick sidebar on Bob Vila for a second. It is wild to me. My dad used to watch that show every single Saturday.
It gets today.
And what's wild to me about it, though, is, like, so nowadays, if you have a problem, you just look it up on YouTube and you get, like, YouTube's version of Bob Vila. But back in the day, my dad would have no idea what Bob Vila was working on, and he would sign himself up to watch that half-hour show in the off chance that, like, 3 years down the line, all of a sudden that Bob Vila taught him something that he could then use.
That's called the Vila bump.
It was wild, like, to me.
It wasn't,
he would
listen.
Just show up, he's like, I'm fixing an outlet today, and in case you need to know that, 3 years from now, here you go.
Well, that's called long-term prep. Like, now you can just go as you go. Like, right, I rebuilt a carburetor on a Cub Cadet tractor.
Yeah.
I didn't know anything else around that Cub Cadet, but the carburetor would have been nice if Bob Vila had been there.
But you have to, like, remember that from, like, 3 years prior. It's like, oh, he did yeah, that's right. Bob did the Cub Cadet video three years ago.
How many people almost died trying to remember something Bob Vila did three years ago?
My dad would watch that every single weekend. And I'd be like, Dad, what's he talking about today? He's like, I don't know yet. He's going to tell us.
All right, so Bob the Builder, what do you have today?
I think today's more about celebrating the idea of Travis Hunter and everything he can be. And then we got to lock this thing in. Are they taking a quarterback? Are they going into the first round for a quarterback? Because remember, we have been in the camp of don't take a quarterback at 33, whatever it ends up being, because you have to go ahead and gear up for next year. So, like, if they go ahead and take Jackson Dart, then all of a sudden they're signaling to us something different than what we think they should be.
Yeah, don't do that. Can we just start there?
I mean, there are ways to mess this up.
Yeah, okay. All right, so maybe that's a better way of putting it. When I say the Browns are in a no-lose situation today, I'm exclusively talking about the number two pick. If you trade up to, like, Atlanta at 15 and give up next year's first or next year's second just to take Jackson Dart, I will say I don't necessarily love that.
Nick, this is not a 20-minute television program for me tonight. This is a whole – we got to watch this thing for, what is it, on 4 hours tonight? This is a whole start to finish. We'll be up late, no going to bed early, because we don't know if they're going to trade in. We don't know what they're going to do as far as the quarterback is concerned. We don't know how much of their whole entire roster they're trying to fix in just this one draft. There's so many things at play. Number two is given to you. But I don't want to celebrate anything too prematurely.
Well, no, I think – oh, listen – so I'm going to redirect this because I really want to make sure that I don't end up eating these words later.
Okay.
With the number two pick, the Browns are in a no-lose situation if they take Travis Hunter, take Abdul Carter, or if they trade down. And that includes even if it's a massive trade down. But even then, the intrigue will be, do you go down for Will Campbell? Do you go down there Mason Graham?
If you trade down and take Tyler Shuck, I can tell you that you screwed it up.
Oh, if they trade down for Tyler Shuck.
Everything's on the table, though. That's why I can't prematurely.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
I'm Emma Grade, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Grade, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Grade, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Say anything about them and giving them kudos for not screwing this thing up, because they have so many picks to make. There's so many things that can happen. This feels like the biggest wild card of wild card drafts. Like, I'm locked in. I'm ready to go.
You know that I have said I'm super charged about this. I love the draft. It's one of my favorite personal events of the year. If they trade down for Tyler Shuck, I have blasphemed people on the air who have been like, oh, they take Abdul Carter. I'm done. I'm turning in my fan card. And I'm like, oh, this? That's the thing? Tyler Shuck might be the turning in my fan card move. Trading down out of two to then get to like 15.
Yeah, that's the one.
And
then
be like, Louisville quarterback Tyler Shuck. You might get an adult-sized temper tantrum on air for me tomorrow.
Well, I expect that regardless, if we're being honest about it in some way, and I like that about you. That's what we need, is the adult-sized temper tantrums. You're not turning in your fan card.
I'll wear that crown. 216-474-0092. Are the Browns in a no-lose situation today with the number two pick? Got to add that caveat. Quick hits coming up at 2:40. We do have Ryan Roberts, A to Z Sports draft analyst, coming up at 4. Miran Fader had a great write-up on The Ringer about the Cavs, about Darius Garland, and about this team's ascension. We'll get her thoughts on what we saw last night for the Cavaliers as they're now 2-0 against Miami. Mock Me coming up at 6 o'clock. It is the last time this year we're going to do Mock Me. Send in your mock drafts. Jake Murren will read them off alongside the pro mock drafts, and then we will decide in real time what grade that you get for your mock draft. Keith is already harassing me about wearing my sunglasses outside. I also have a stick mic, so I'm looking very cavalier today.
You got your Rokio shades on.
Listen, no. Please don't. No. These are actually good shades. These don't have base rating issues.
Are people ripping those shades from Rokio?
No, they're ripping everything Rokio does, because you've watched Rokio play this year.
Oh, he's got the platinum blonde hair.
Platinum Rokio.
He's got the shades that he's debuting out there.
Don't even get me started on platinum Rokio. 216-474-0092. At Nick Wilson says, at Jay Peterlin, social media reactions on X, powered by Shivan Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. But as we get started, are the Browns in a no-lose situation today and tonight? Or about a lot of things in the NFL, but when it comes to watching for 4 hours, there's one thing that's going to drive tonight. I'll tell you what it is in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
It'll always be the Baker draft. It'll always be going down to the Muni lot, me getting mad at Andy Roth for sending me to the Muni lot and being like, why am I here? And then it turning out to be thousands of Browns fans. Brady Quinn was like the big star of the day. He was doing like all the NFL Network stuff. And they had all sorts of like on stage, like random performances. Not like Journey or anything like that, but like, I don't know. Anyway, it was very cool.
I don't know. Journey now is pretty random. Without Steve Perry, Journey's guess. A little random.
No, but that's prepared. That's like ticketed. That's like it's happening. This was like you just randomly looked up.
Was it like Soapbox like Steve?
I think
out
like
there?
The Baja Men or someone like that. You know what I mean? Like you're like, who thought of this? No one told us this was happening. How is this going down this way now? But it was like a game day almost because so many people were tailgating in the Muni lot the same way. And then I'll never forget till the day I die. Everyone thinking it was going to be one quarterback, and then it ended up being Baker Mayfield. And just nothing as far as a reaction from people.
So 2007, when they drafted Joe and then traded up for Brady Quinn, probably the last time I was truly excited to be a Browns fan, like on draft night where I was like, we're winning like next year. And it happened. It just didn't happen with Brady, and then it never happened with Brady. Then 2012, which is the Trent Richardson, Brandon Weeden draft, released the Kraken. Was the scream of the night. It was the call of the night because we were like super excited about the idea of Trent Richardson. And me and my now cabin boys, this was pre-cabin boys, we were betting drinks on who was going to be drafted. And this is also the night that our buddy Randy got sick.
I want to see a parlay of that, by the way.
It was not great, guys. It was dumb. Just now looking back not safe in any way.
You just bet drinks like is it like a one for one? Like I'll bet you a beer for a beer? Or is it like I'll bet you
a beer
and a shot?
No. It was I'll bet you a car bomb.
Oh, jeez.
And the problem is my buddy Jeremy's about $1.50 at the time. My buddy Randy was about $1.65. I was not. Well, I was that plus more. Me and my buddy Jason, I mean, we got irresponsibly drunk.
Yeah.
Well, Randy got sick. He got sick in the sink. And then, like a thief in the night.
I like that you remember he got sick in the sink.
You know why? Because he refused to clean it up, left the next morning without telling anyone, and then never came back.
Wait, Randy refused to clean up the puke?
Yes. And it ruined the scene.
All right, wait, is Randy still part of the Cabin Boys or no?
No,
because that's a dirtbag move.
It was not great.
And I get why Randy's not a part of the crew anymore, and you never mention a Randy, so it makes sense. That's a dirtbag move to throw open someone's sink.
In fairness, Randy should always be a part of the Cabin Boys. We love Randy, but it when we get together, that is the thing that comes up. So yeah, those are Release the Kraken and Trent Richardson, who ended up just not being great. Those were the two of my favorite draft memories ever. Now,
I think I was too hard on Randy now. I'm in such a good mood out here.
In fairness, it was not great. There was a lot of tension in the friend group for a while on that one.
Yeah, well, you can't puke in people's sink and then not clean it up and then not even want to come back the next day.
And seemed pretty nonplussed that like we would even ask him to do that.
Like, how dare you?
Yeah, because it's not. He wasn't living there. I wasn't living there. But our buddies were living there. It to this day, if you talk to my buddy Jeremy about it, he'll get hot about it.
Rumor has it no one actually ever cleaned up that puke.
No. I think they did. I think they cleaned it up. It's not great, Bob. It really was not great.
I have, at certain points in life, I've stuck my fingers down friends' throats to make sure that they do puke. I'm not scared of puke in any sort of way.
Are you one-upping me?
No. I'm telling you.
Story?
I'm telling you, like, if I'm not scared of puke is to set the precedent, okay? I will do that. I will not. I would never clean up somebody else's puke that way.
All right,
not Randy's puke, at least.
We might have to follow
Definitely
this up.
Not Randy's puke.
With when I knew that Vanessa would never leave me, because there's a story that goes in with that, but it was not draft night, but it was a night of bad decisions. Now, that being said, tonight is about a lot of things, and we talked about the Browns with the number two pick, but I think when it comes to the biggest question, and I think the thing that can turn tonight into must-watch TV, it's absolutely Shedeur Sanders watch.
Are you going to call it the Shadrop? Are you going to call it the Shafal? What are you calling it? Because it is, without question, the most interesting thing about tonight.
Have we not been doing the Shadrop this whole time?
Yeah, I didn't know you wanted
or
to rebrand.
Or the Shislip.
You know, like right before the event, if you wanted to rebrand into something else.
So
it's like an odd time to do it.
Man, I got some shots to fire that I'm gonna holster for right now.
Oh yeah?
Not at you. No. You know what? Ask me to tell that one off air. That one's even. I say a lot of things, guys. For the second time in 2 days, there's something I'm holstering because I just do not have the cojones to say it on air.
I never found out what the one yesterday was, by the way.
Oh, is it bad that I didn't remember that one?
It might be bad.
I'm on to this next thing that I'm too much of a coward to say.
Shador's the most interesting part of tonight, though, and it's not even close to me. Outside of what the Browns do. And again, it might involve the Browns. Have you started to see the rumors pick back up about the Travis Hunter and Shador Sanders connection being something that the Browns can't possibly escape? People are redoing. All right. Okay. If it happens that way, I'm going to say what might end up being the most out-of-pocket statement I've made since I referred to Baker Mayfield and Patrick Mahomes, the modern-day version of Tom Brady and Peyton Manning.
Yeah. By the way, there's still time for that.
If it goes down that way tomorrow, we are going to have they're trying to replicate Ja'Marr Chase and Joe Burrow conversation.
Oh, man.
That is going to be it. From the same school and everything, just taking their college game to the pro game, that is going to be the conversation. It'll be Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, and the Browns are trying to do that in Cleveland.
Can we just be real honest here? If Shador comes off the board at 3, the draft loses 85% of its sizzle.
Oh, for sure. Well, especially since from like pick 10 to 25, we've just kind of just lived in this world that the pick number 15 is the same as pick number 45.
And I just have to say, and I don't know that you'll want to hear this, but I think you need to hear it. I think people are rooting for the shuffle, slip.
No, people are. They're actively rooting in the interest of Shador Sanders looking like an idiot tonight.
So I don't think it's just about Shador looking like an idiot. I also think it's the most compelling thing. Like, when a quarterback could be a top 5 pick, and then they fall, and you can... Now, we're not going to have the Rodgers thing, because Shador and his camp are too much of cowards to be on... at the draft.
This is what Aaron Rodgers... The base of it is exactly the same, though. You're right in that he won't be on TV. It is interesting that Travis Hunter is there, though, when for the longest time it was Travis Hunter and Shador Sanders in Colorado together, and you notice that they're not together tonight.
That's kind of why I think it's not going to happen for the Browns. Because if the Browns were really determined to get Shador tonight, I think they'd be determined to have that onstage moment of Hunter holding up his jersey at the draft and Shador doing the same.
Yeah, it'd been possible, though. You would have had to, like, tip the hand ahead of time to Travis Hunter to be like, hey, you need to be around.
I don't think it's Travis Hunter. I think it's more Shador that has to do it. You really have to tell Shador, like, hey, we got a deal in place. It's Atlanta. It's a 15th pick. Don't worry.
There's too many teams in front of that, though. They can't possibly.
You think Shador's going to turn around and go to like New Orleans and be like, the Browns are going to take me at 15?
He might.
At this point, I think he would be thrilled to have a top 16 guarantee.
He really went from the just making sure he was in the top 5 discussion and trying to be a pick better than Deion was to what now today feels like a full on panic. It's been I told you before, though, this is a masterclass in his camp screwing this up in the biggest way imaginable.
But I don't think it's just, I think maybe this is just who he is. Like, what if he's just a second round talent and that's just what's bearing fruit right now? Now, granted, quarterback scarcity, and this is what will be wild about this draft. It's what was wild about 2022. It's what was wild about 2013. If you only have one quarterback go in the draft, in an era where the motto in the NFL is, we don't care, take as many swings as you want at the quarterback, there will be a part of me that will just be impressed at the restraint of teams not doing the dumb, desperate thing that led to Christian Ponder being drafted too high or Mac Jones being drafted too high.
I think you're speaking a little bit too early, too. I saw a mock draft today that had 4 quarterbacks off the board.
Who was it? I need to know the author. Do I respect them?
I'll have to pull it up. Yeah, it was a respectable one. It was one of the NFL.com people.
They got some slappies over there.
They had 4. Vegas right now, Vegas gives better odds of it being more than 2.5 than worse odds. I think it was minus 225 that it would be more than 2.5 quarterbacks taken off the board tonight. And for the longest time, 2.5 was the starting point of that conversation. Like, well, it's weird. We are seeing a shift of more quarterbacks going in the first round tonight than not. But what's interesting is we're also seeing way too many conversations about the slide, the drop, whatever you want to call it.
what I'm really hoping for. One, I'm hoping for the Shislai just because it makes this thing more interesting. I am hoping for chaos tonight, but understand I'm probably going to be disappointed. Too many people have tried to sell that the last couple days. I think everyone being like, you never know what could happen. If it's a quiet draft week, that means it's going to be in a crazy night. I think those people are just trying to get on Roger Goodell's good side. I think this is going to end up being one of those drafts that is fun because it's the NFL draft.
And it's fun because the Browns are number two.
But in terms of the intrigue, in terms of outside of a Shislide, as many national folks are now calling it, outside of that, I think it's going to be a pretty stock draft. I don't mean that in a bad way because I'll watch every second regardless.
I think it's interesting that it feels like from a national perspective, I could get why a lot of people wouldn't be on board with this draft. But it is franchise altering for the Browns and potentially the Steelers and what happens at number 21 and what quarterback they take. If they go Shador, if they go Dart, if they go Milroe, whatever they end up doing in such a way that this is going to be one I think the AFC North is going to remember for the next decade. Meanwhile, the rest of the NFL might forget very quickly.
Beyond the should drop, what I am absolutely rooting for them not to take a quarterback tonight. And honestly, I don't know I want them to take a quarterback tomorrow. I've tried, guys. I've tried to have faith in a bunch of quarterbacks that I don't see it with. And for one, I mean, again, if I got to take somebody in the next two nights, it's Milroe because of just the insane upside and because I bet on the kid. The kid seems like solid citizen, hard worker, incredibly brilliant. Incredibly bright is like as a student. Even then, like if you said like the chances Jalen Milroe works out in the NFL to the degree that you want, I give it like. He like 25% chance
I think he gets
of happening.
Buried by an NFL pass rush. He was getting buried by college pass rushes. The moment
he
got
blitzed, he
gets
buried by
destroyed.
Bad coaching more than anything.
Well, all right, then you would bet on the upside with him. Then I'm not there. I don't love the idea of them taking a quarterback beyond Shador and them thinking that they can turn that into something. I just refuse to believe that they can, and I hate the thought philosophy behind that too. That is them. That would show arrogance that I don't love them showing they could pass on someone like Shador and say, well, we can do it with this quarterback instead because we feel like we can just be that great when they have no track record of being that great.
I'm really surprised at fans who remember like the Deshaun Kizer draft. Late second rounder, a lot of upside. He just needs coaching and a system that fits him. I'm really surprised at the amount of people, amount of Browns fans, who are like, oh, we don't need to have a quarterback at two. Let's just get one at 33. And here's my word of warning on that. It's not that one of these kids won't turn out to be a nice quarterback. Who knows? Like, that's the greatest part of this whole thing is we get it wrong all the time. Draft Knicks get it wrong all the time. Lamar became arguably the best quarterback of that draft. He was the fifth quarterback off the board, right?
Yeah.
At the same time, any quarterback the Browns take on the first 2 days of this draft, there will be franchise expectations. And I just don't think –
You ready to put franchise expectations on Tyler Shuck?
I'm not. No. I'm not saying for me. I'm saying for fans.
No, I'm saying in general. Like I don't know how you're a fan sitting there saying I can put the franchise on Tyler Shuck's shoulders.
Because I think that's what we do. I think Cleveland is so
thirsty. It's an awful attempt at it, though.
Yeah, you're not wrong, but I think that's – like. The problem with this is if the guy ends up just being merely good, there's going to be some level of disappointment no matter whether you took him at 2, 33, 67, or 94. 216-474-0092. Nick Wilson, Jonathan here. We are live at Razzle's in Olmsted Falls. Come on out and see us, guys. We're on the patio, so it's an awesome day outside. It's beautiful outside.
I feel like I'm in Mexico right now. Is that bad to say?
Why? Why would it be a bad thing to say?
I just feel very tropical. I feel like they took the show on vacation here. Now.
I kind of want a Bob Marley. Like the last time I went to Jamaica. That's the last time I really got the beach vibes.
You like the foo-foo drinks on vacation.
Vacation Nick Wilson likes whatever gets him drunkest the quickest, which was Bob Marley and a little bit of Pedialyte. We really tensed up really quickly in that Jamaican sun. Apparently, those Irish and Hungarian roots did not favor well under 95 degree temperatures and 30 drinks a day.
You're doing like Pedialyte and vodka? Is that what you're doing?
Listen, whatever gets you there. 216-474-0092 is tonight about Shador Sanders. Are you rooting for a... should drop, or are you rooting for a Shirize? I think that was the other thing we said about him. It's been so long, I can't remember. Quick hits coming up in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. I'm not putting a lot of pressure. I'm expecting all of you to do what we did with the draft here. Last week? And I'm expecting you guys to raise it to another level. There, I'm going to put some pressure on this situation.
I just want to see people do like the beach volleyball.
Oh yeah, you're going to see that right about 5:30.
I mean, we have so many courts lined up. Like yeah. This is insane. It's such a great setup. I just want to watch people play all day.
Volleyball already a tough sport for you, boy.
Yeah,
you add sand to that mix, and that's how we end up in the ER or dead. At this point,
this is why pickleball has become so popular. Is that volleyball is not for everyone.
I have another comment that I'm not going to say because it's the pickleball community will not enjoy it. So instead, I'll simply say, come on out and see us, guys. Let's get ready for quick hits here.
From the latest news and rumors around the sports world,
go Angels!
To the sound bites you need to hear,
hurry.
It's quick hits.
Today is a day that some in the sports-loving world rewatch draft day in honor of the draft. It's also not necessarily an accurate or good movie. Now, Lindsay Rhodes, our friend from Sumer Sports, was tweeting about this, saying, you know, yeah, it's not good, but it's the only draft movie we had, which begs the question, do we need Hollywood to take another swing at a draft day movie?
No, we got it. I don't love the amount of people that are pretending to watch draft day for the first time and then doing running commentary. You've seen it, and if this is the first time you've seen it,
you'd never trade 3 second rounders for the seventh.
He didn't show
draft.
Up to my birthday party. I like a Kevin Costner rom com. I want you guys to know that about me.
The com in that movie? Well, I saw the rom. I saw the drum.
Where's the com in For Love of the Game? Either, you know what I mean? Like there, we just called them sports rom coms, and we just kind of let them live.
Is it a rom-com? Is that what?
I think it's labeled as a rom-com.
I think it's a rom-drom.
I think every Kevin Costner sports movie for like 15 years was labeled as a rom-com. Starting with Bull Durham all the way down. Bull Durham is a rom-com more than it is anything.
There's so much that I don't know how to unpack on this one. I just want to get back to.
It's all about the genre.
There's no way it's a rom-com. It's neither rom nor com. It's very, very little rom. It's mostly just kind of a dude bro dramedy.
Draft day?
Yes. Dramedy.
What'd you call it? A dude bro dramedy.
It's a man who loves other...
Want to finish that thought?
A man who loves the game of football.
Okay. Yeah. All
right. And just loves football players.
Mac, what does it have it labeled as? You're looking at it.
Wikipedia has it labeled as a sports drama.
I was closer.
No comedy or romance.
Listen. Oh, yeah, because there was so much drama in what he's going to do in the draft. It was littered with drama.
Who loves other dudes?
And the dude that loves his pancakes.
Oh. All right.
Omaha!
Thanks, Jake. Giants GM Joe Shane. His son posted a Jackson Dart highlight on his IG and then deleted the highlight reel and then locked his account and made it suspended, which usually in IG terms, for those that don't know, means you screwed up. Is what happened there. Now, remember his son, the last time we saw Joe Shane's son, he was telling his dad to take Jaden Daniels, the quarterback, instead of Malik Nabers, who ended up taking, but he was saying, you have to take a quarterback, your dad. He didn't take a quarterback, and there we go.
I'm going to tell you about that kid. I've never seen him missing a quarterback.
I'm telling you, if Jackson Dart is great, this kid might have a job in the NFL. He's 13 years old.
He might be better at drafting than his father.
There is someone that will give him an NFL job based off of the Hard Knocks video and then this if Jackson Dart ends up being great because he just seems like he knows what he's doing.
You're Joe Shane. You've put in 20 years in the NFL, right? You started as like a gopher. And your kid just walks by you and goes, yeah, Jackson Dart, please. And like every year, what if every year Joe Shane was the Giants? His son was like the quarterback whisperer. Next year he's like, Lenora Sellers, loser. And then he just walks away.
What happened?
Stop in the draft room. He just does a walk by.
You hit on enough of them, and then he walks into his dad's house and says, I am the captain now.
I'll take the master bedroom. Mom get the Hot Wheels bed. You'll make it work. Don't worry about it.
But he's still 13, so he's like, I'll keep the PlayStation.
Yeah, well, of course.
I mean, we're not giving that up. This kid it's incredible. Incredible what's happening here. I don't think he's tipping the hand of the Giants
second,
at all.
Gives me second thoughts about hating Jackson Dart as a prospect.
All right.
Omaha!
The Rockets pulled even with the Warriors in a 109-94 win last night, and the Houston crowd chanted "Bleep Draymond Green," to which Warriors head coach Steve Kerr responded after the game.
Draymond's, he's been around forever. You know, he's an instigator. He's always going to be in the mix. I would prefer if fans could use a little more discretion and remember that, you know, the guy has kids and, like, there's kids. I don't know. I just, maybe I'm old school, but I'm all for the fans cheering for their team. And if they want to yell at the opponents, great, but it's a little much.
Is "bleep you, Draymond" over the line?
Yeah, I don't think so. Draymond brings on all this himself. He's the one with the podcast. He's the one that goes after people. He plays the antagonist role. You can't play the antagonist role and then be surprised when people get mad at you.
NBA players are just soft as hell. Everyone could agree. If some clown says something racial, get him out of there. If some clown says something personal to your family or is harassing your family, get him out of there. "Bleep you, Draymond" is over the line. And like Steve Kerr, I guess I'm old school. Yeah, because the crowds were so gentle and easy.
That's what I kept thinking. I'm like, that's not old school. You, like, we always go back to your time of playing basketball as brutal.
And here's the thing.
Joe Dumars would shove you in a locker.
Has anyone actually seen the clips of NBA players talking to each other and talking trash?
Did you see Draymond
is in the 1 percentile of the nicest thing that you can possibly say.
Did you see the LeBron and Ant video that went viral yesterday?
I saw the Ant video.
Again, and that's another good example, too.
Yeah.
That's how you handle it. Tell the crowd what you think of the crowd.
Also, he makes $200 million. He makes $200 million. And I would like to know what he thought about Ant commenting about different
man, Ant's just out of pocket. I told you, Ant's out of pocket these days.
He is.
He's just gone a little bit. He's gone a little bit wild. He's playing good basketball, though.
Omaha!
He's trying to help Jake.
Okay.
I don't have, like, a saying down yet.
So inside the NBA, I don't know.
Beat me up, Scully!
They do random things. I think we can all agree on that. This was incredibly random, but also I wanted your judgment on it. You like Hamilton, right?
No.
Oh, you don't?
No, my oldest daughter does, so.
That's where I
so
got
I've
it from.
So I've seen it 150
Okay, that's
times.
Where I got it from. I was like, yeah. I know you've seen it a ton. I didn't know if you liked it.
Like in A Clockwork Orange, okay. My eyes have been peeled open as I've been forced to watch Hamilton way more times than you should.
Well, Ernie Johnson wanted to give his Hamilton rendition because this is what they do now on Inside the NBA, and here it was.
I am not throwing away my shot. Oh, yo, I'm just like my country. I'm young, scrappy, and hungry, and I'm not throwing away my shot. I'm going to get a scholarship to King's College. I probably shouldn't brag, but dang, I amaze and astonish. The problem is I got a lot of brain, but no polish. I got to holler just to be heard with every word I drop knowledge. I'm a diamond in the rough, a shiny piece of coal trying to reach my goal. My power of speech unimpeachable. Only 19, but my mind is older. These New York City streets get colder. I shoulder every burden, every day. Disadvantage I have learned to manage. I don't have a gun to brandish. I walk these streets famished. The plan is to fan this spark into a flame, but dang, it's getting dark, so let me spell out my name. I am the AFEXANDER. We are meant to be.
No reason for why they did that, but they did. It was really
can
funny.
Can I just say this?
It was good.
The flow was on
really
point.
Good. That's the point.
He started sounding like every drunk dad in Brecksville trying to rap along at karaoke at, like, Rapper's Delight. And then at some point, the
he
flow
turned into
hit.
A Broadway star at some point.
It was like the birth of a star. I was like, yeah, Ernie.
Did he miss his calling hanging out with Shaq and Chuck for so many years? He should have been on Broadway.
I think I'd rather do that than be on Broadway. Beat me up, Scotty.
Omaha!
So we have an outdoor cat at the house.
Yeah.
We call her Dolly because we do the naming convention, the cats after country music stars. So Cash is after Johnny Cash. Well, outdoor cat, Dolly.
I like this. Is this the only two cats you have now that have been named after country music stars?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
We started with Cash and then we've just never gotten another cat until Dolly came with the house.
Okay.
But I saw her for the first time today. Usually we see each other when I walk Livy up to the bus stop. Well, today, it was after my walk, and I'm walking into the house, and she had a baby bunny in her mouth.
Oh.
Turns out, now, Dolly is about 8 pounds, all right? She's a calico cat, and she can't be more than 8 pounds. And she killed, like, not even, it's not like a baby. It's like an adolescent baby bunny.
Yeah.
Am I the only one surprised that a smallish cat can kill a baby bunny?
Well, I'm kind of proud of Dolly, if I'm being honest about it. It sounds gross.
She fought in her weight class.
So let me ask you about this, because I had a dog growing up. His name was Snowball. Black dog named Snowball, right?
Uh-huh.
And Snowball...
He just loves snowstorms. Was he a former drug dog?
It was the comic nature of it all, of having a black dog and just giving it the Snowball. Snowballs are white. It was just funny to me. Snowball killed a mouse,
uh-huh,
and brought the mouse inside the house,
yeah,
and was running around with this mouse and was so proud of itself.
Yep.
Like, was so happy, was so like, look at me, I did it, I'm awesome. And I thought it was the grossest thing in the world, but I couldn't be like, no, take that outside. Like, I got it. He was proud of himself. Was Dolly proud of itself?
So much so, because I told Vanessa, I'm like, I think she got either a rat or a baby bunny. And so we walked outside, and right is Vanessa... She saw Vanessa, and she, like, started doing, like, the rolling on her back thing, like, look what I got, like, pointing at it. And then she looked Vanessa dead in the eyes and took a giant bite out of it. And poor Vanessa, you understand, Vanessa is like Snow White. Vanessa animals. And so she was horrified.
Yeah.
But if she didn't turn on this cat after this, I think this cat is like, the chosen one in our house.
Maybe this was Dolly's way of saying, you guys aren't feeding me enough.
Look
at this. You guys made me just go out there and get my own lunch.
Yeah, it's funny about that. Here? I made sure to fill up her food dish. I was like, well, I got to save some baby bunnies out here.
You never know when she's eating out that night.
Yeah.
You got to make sure you keep it full.
And you know the funny thing is? So 2 hours later, I come out, half the bunnies gone, and I'm backing up the truck, and I look at Dolly, and she's taking care of the processing of the bunny. She's going to the bathroom, and just we lock eyes, and there was a moment where she was like, I did that. I was like, cool, bro. Cavs won. That's awesome. We'll get to that coming up in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.